Everyone has their own focus. Many are focused on what's happening around. What's happening around? Many people are expert in what's happening in the sports world. Who wins the boxing? Who won the boxing last night? And basketball or anything, or even in politics, what's happening in politics? What's news in politics? What's happening to our prime minister? Do you know? I hope that you would dream of things, not just or focus on things that you may pursue your dream. I hope you had a good night's sleep last night. Did you have a dream? Did you dream last night? Personally, can you accept that God speaks to people in their dream? Have you dreamed of something that you sense like God had revealed these wonderful plans for you? It had been accepted that in the scripture, the Lord speaks even in dreams. And when the Israelites were exiled, the king of Babylonia, King Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. In his dream, he was so perplexed and cannot sleep. And he called all the magicians and the wise men in the kingdom and told them, "Tell me my dream and interpret it for me." "What? That's not possible, king. There's no king who would ask magicians and the wise men to tell them his dream. Nobody can interpret any dream that they have not heard." That is what they say. Do you know what Nebuchadnezzar was understood when they say, "No king will ever ask magician of his dream"? He understood it. You are not a king. So what did King Nebuchadnezzar do? He ordered to kill all magicians and wise men in the entire kingdom, because they think he is not a king. When he asked them, "Tell me my dream. What's my dream? What's the interpretation?" And then soldiers, they went on to kill the magician, but Daniel heard about it, so he asked the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, please give us enough time for us to interpret your dreams for you." So the King Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel time. Daniel went home, told his friend, who was his friend? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The king said, "He will kill all the magicians and wise men if we cannot tell him his dream and interpret it for him. So let's plead to God for mercy to reveal this mystery." So they prayed. And it narrated in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him.'" The story tells us that Daniel told the king, "King Nebuchadnezzar, this is your dream." He told him this dream, and this is the interpretation. He told him the interpretation that God revealed him. Do you believe that God uses dreams to reveal his plans? Do you believe? It is very wonderful, I suppose, if God speaks to us in our dreams. Why? We cannot argue. We cannot go anywhere else. We cannot decide on our own to do anything else in a dream. Hopefully he would speak to each of us his dream more particularly. Have you ever experienced it when the Lord spoke to you in your dream? I did have a dream before I committed to full-time ministry. I had a dream of preaching, and I was startled that morning. I told my wife, I don't know if she remembers it, because I told my wife, I will never stand behind that pulpit, and yet God wants me to stand behind a pulpit. Similar dream I saw in a vision when I attended leaders' meeting. And I suppose if we are very sincere and serious in knowing the will of God for us and live the life he wants us to live, he will truly speak to each one of us. In his prayer, Daniel acknowledged that God controls times and seasons. Controls times and seasons. Season includes what? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. So if we believe in this, we are not worried about climate change. There are times. What are these times? Time to plant, time to harvest. He controls those things. Time to live and time to die. He controls those things. The Lord decides who should rule as king. Even when we are supposed to be praying the best president we could ever have, I think this is the best president, but God says, this is the president I want for you. We pray that a Christian president would rule Russia. How about that? Have you been praying for that? Try it. Pray that a believer of God would become president of Russia. And just, I believe you would praise the Lord all your life when that happens. Instead of worrying about what the leader of Russia is doing, how about praying for that? The wise are wise because he gives them wisdom. Do you think that those nerd people who become billionaires, do you think that it was God who gave them wisdom? I believe so. I believe. So pray if you have some dreams of yourself. Keep praying that you would be filled with wisdom, discernment, and revelation of hidden things. They come from God. They come from God. Who could imagine if you have been living in the Philippines maybe 30 years ago? How could you imagine, especially in our city, how could you imagine that you would own a cell phone when applying for landline at that time is so hard? Somebody complained, a radio announcer complained that I've been applying for 20 years and 20 years they were not giving me my telephone. He'd been telling that on the radio. That's how hard to have telephone at that time. But now you can. If you have money, you can have it. Can you believe that all those realities, that God controls time since his son, that God decides who rules as kings, that the wise are wise because God gives them wisdom, that discernment and revelation of hidden things come from God, can you believe all those realities? How should we internalize those biblical realities? How can we apply it in our life? Do you know the wonderful plan of God for you? Do you believe that God has a wonderful plan for you? Now, if you have that doubt or hesitation to believe that, ask the Lord to give you increase of faith, that you might grow stronger in your faith and believe. Now, if you cannot visualize it, what are you doing for you to visualize the plan of God for you? What practical step you should do to find out His wonderful plan for you? Pray. Pray for discernment to envision the wonderful plan of God for you. But first of all, pray that you grow nearer, closer to the Lord. You dream for that wonderful plan, but you do not want to live the life that God wants you to do. How would God give you that wonderful plan meant for a life He designed for you? We need to grow stronger in our faith, grow closer in our faith. It is when we are prepared that He would reveal His plan. It's not for a wise God. He knows it when the right time He would reveal that plan. But why would He reveal that plan if you are not prepared? You would be perplexed. You would not believe it. Just tell a 5-year-old boy playing drums, "Oh, you will be a drummer of the church one day." Would you say that? No, I don't think so. Maybe you are just, "Stop playing that, you're so loud." Instead of seeing a great thing happening in the life of that young person, many parents would think it's disturbance for children to do something else. I know a friend back in my hometown. When he cries loud. Loud that you can hear up to 100 meters away. But he is not crying with tears. He just wants to shout and cry like complaining. But now when he sings, he has really, really good voice. Now I know that my voice is not that low, because accordingly, when I was young, I was so silent. They would let me sit on a table and just sit there and not do anything. That's what they think of me. And what I'm saying is, if your children cry loud, let them cry. They will not die crying. Let them cry. Of course, it's so irritating to the ears. But maybe it would practice their diaphragm. The muscle of their diaphragm in their voice will come out better. Do something else. Pray for God. But for yourself, what is it that you envision as wonderful plan of God for you? Let's read again verse 9, in first part of verse 10. "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit." Read that again. "The things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has prepared to us by His Spirit." Does God prepare anything for those who do not love Him? I don't know. But what He says in His Word, The things God prepared for those who love Him are these things. These are the things God reveals to us by His Holy Spirit. Meaning, when we love the Lord, it is when His Holy Spirit reveals to us the things He prepared for us. He does not reveal to us when we are still hesitating of loving the Lord. How would you show you would love the Lord? Pray for the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produce love. That is when we love the Lord. It's not by our effort to love the Lord. God prepared great things for believers who love Him. Can you envision what God prepared for you? Can you imagine it? Do you have any vision? Do you have any idea what God prepared for you? The Holy Spirit, when He reveals it, you would have that enthusiasm. You will sense it. You know it very exactly. And wait. If you are not very sure, ask the Lord to confirm it to you. Surely you have envisioned what you want to become. What do you want to become 20 years from now? What do you want to become 10 years from now? Can you imagine yourself? I will be in a cruise, sailing in the ship on the seas. I will be in the missionary field, sharing the good news to the people who hadn't heard Christ. Or I will be sitting on a sofa, taking care of my grandchildren. Can you imagine that for yourself? What is it that you imagine? What's your plan? Plans won't always turn out according to expectation. Can you accept it? Why? Because there are many factors that we have no controls, various factors that may affect our plans to succeed. But if our plan is within the will of God, our plan will surely materialize. Do you agree? Now let's try to learn from the plans of people of God in the Bible. Carpenters, there are many carpenters here. They are handyman, they say. But good carpenters, if you are handyman, you don't build just anything. I'll just hammer this and saw this and it will come out as it is. No, a good carpenter, he has a plan. I want to make this. If a table, table. If a chair, chair. If a, what else? House, house. They prepare. Oh, this is I need. That is a good carpenter. Don't just build anything randomly. They don't. He worked hard to make it, that plan, succeed or materialize. There was a carpenter in the Bible. He planned for his wedding. So he worked hard, earned much money to prepare for that wonderful wedding. He prepared for it. A memorable wedding. Many people want to have memorable wedding. People may even get a, what they call that, loan, so that they have a wonderful wedding and then pay their loan until they die, just because of that wonderful wedding. But this carpenter in the Bible, he prepared for it, prepared. Waiting for the day they would have that wedding. Then a gossip spread like wildfire. What was the gossip? His fiancée was pregnant. He was devastated. The carpenter was devastated. What about the wedding plan? What happened to my wedding plan? He was depressed. How about the reservation of I made? How about those cook that I signed contract with? How do I deal with them? How about those I invited to join me? What will I say? He was devastated. But since he was a devoted believer of God, he planned to divorce his fiance quietly in the hope that she would not be exposed to public disgrace. You know the story? Before their wedding, Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph the carpenter planned quietly to divorce Mary. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, told him that the child in the womb of Mary was conceived by through the Holy Spirit and will save his people from sin. Joseph was also told, name the child Jesus. Then they were in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. King Herod ordered, kill all the children of Bethlehem. And an angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph. He said, told Joseph, escape to Egypt until I would tell you when to return. They escaped to Egypt. After Herod died, an angel appeared in his dream again, told him, go back to Israel. The one who is trying to kill your son, the child, had died. So Joseph and Mary and the young Jesus returned to Israel. What do you think Joseph wanted to go to? He wanted to go and live in Judea. Why? He was a very good carpenter. And in Judea, there are a lot of rich people there. And rich people would hire the best carpenter they have. So Joseph might be thinking, oh, I think I'll go to Judea because it gives me a good chance of earning much money. I'm a good carpenter. And what else? I can escape the gossip in my hometown. I don't like to listen to those gossip. But he learned that Archelaus, the son of Herod, replaced his father as king of Judea. So Joseph was afraid. And again, he was warned in a dream, go to the district of Galilee. And they settled in the city of Nazareth. That is to fulfill also what the scripture say, that he will be called carpenter of Nazareth. When doubtful, when you are hesitant, when you are not certain about your plans, what should we do? Pray for guidance. Lord, I don't know what's happening, but Lord, give me understanding, guide me. The Bible says, God prepared great things for believers who love him, like Joseph. Joseph loved him. So his plan, the plan of Joseph, did not materialize, but God had better plan for him. If his plan materialized, I don't know if his name would be mentioned in the Bible. But because of the plan of God for him, his name had been mentioned in the Bible over and over and over throughout history. Every Christmas, his name is mentioned because he obeyed the Lord. Would you like your name to be mentioned by the next generation? Like Joseph, love the Lord. Pray for stronger faith. When you pray for stronger faith, how would you proceed? The Lord would give you idea, maybe ordinary idea, or simple idea that you can do. but trust that every step that you make is part of the plan of God to lead you to His plan, wonderful plan for you. Every step, even if it takes so long. When I graduated in my bachelor's, the seminary, I was thinking, oh, where will I preach? Where will I become pastor? That was my thought. I've been to missions, been preaching to different churches, but I cannot sense any peace in my heart. Where will I be? We pray for stronger faith. We trust that practical step we take are essential parts of great things God prepared for us. Let's reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commands. Now, again, this is a personal question for every one of us. Do I love the Lord? Do I keep the Lord's command? Does the Holy Spirit of Truth lives in me? If the Holy Spirit of Truth lives in you, He will reveal to you the plan of God at the right time when He sees that you are fully committed in love the Lord. So pray, do not try to love the Lord by yourself, by your effort. You cannot. Instead, ask the Lord, Lord, empower me, fill me, inspire me that I may love you. Keep on praying for that. Don't just think what would be the plan of God. Don't go beyond that, because He would never reveal to you until you would love the Lord in all your heart. When we pray for guidance, the Holy Spirit of Truth empowers us, He inspires us, He helps us enthusiastically do what is right and proper. When it is not right, there's no enthusiasm in it. There's resentment in the heart. And there's no pressure at all. When the Lord says this or that, and you sense that pressure in you resisting, don't go, don't proceed, because it should be enthusiasm that your sign of doing things, you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life, is working through you. But if you are pressured, I will do this because the pastor said this, I will do this because my father said this, I will do this because my leaders asked me to do this. If those are the reasons you are doing things, stop. Because it's a waste of energy, it's a waste of opportunity to earn your treasures in heaven. Stop. Don't waste your time. Do other things instead for yourself, instead of trying to force yourself and trying to serve the Lord or something. Because somebody is forcing you to try, go, 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 pushing you to do it. Stop. We want to see in our life that enthusiasm so that our testimony would reflect the light of Jesus shine in our life. That's when the light of Jesus shine in our life, when we have that enthusiasm. You can see that smile in your face even when you look at the mirror, when you're enthusiastic about it. Somebody may argue, then pastor, then who would do the things if we are not forcing ourselves? Again, even if I explain deeper, wisely, that it's by the Holy Spirit we should do, you would not understand if you have that kind of argument. Because only when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you would understand it, that it is by the Holy Spirit that God accepts what we do. There's no pressure when the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Make sure of that. No pressure at all. Wait for that time when there's no pressure at all. Instead, the Holy Spirit guides us step by step in our decision, and we choose to do good. We choose to speak the truth. Speak the truth. Speak good things, do good things according to His plan for us. We cannot explain it, but we've got peace and gladness, enthusiasm to follow the Lord. We love to do good things. We love to speak that truth, even when it hurts. What instruction of God did you hear in the past? Or when you read the Bible? Pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ challenged us in John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24. Let's read together. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them. When the Lord Jesus comes to us, make His home in our life, we have that joy. We have that peace. We have that enthusiasm. We have also patience. The teaching of Christ, they are the blueprint, the plan, practical step that would lead us to accomplish that great things that God prepared for believers who love Him. Read the scripture to know the teaching of the Lord. Do you sense any resistance? Do you sense that disagreement, not wanting to obey the Lord, or wanting to disregard instruction from God? You have that resistance. You know that your human nature resists when you do not give time to your what? To your Bible. It's true. I'm saying this because I myself experience it. How much time do you spend to read the Word of God? If you spend only short time, 5 minutes, in 5 minutes, how many things you will learn about the plans of God for you? If you are serious about the plan of God for you, ask the Lord to give you that joy. Don't force again. Don't force even in reading the Bible. Instead, pray, Lord, I cannot spend time with you. Just tell Him, accept the reality that we are humans with sinful instinct. Our sinful instinct resists what God wants for us. Earnestly pray that the Holy Spirit guides you step by step to explore the great things God prepared for believers who love Him. Have you explored His plan for you yet? Have you? Start now. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to explore what really is your wonderful plan for me. Just say it to the Lord, silently. Let's read again second part of verse 10 and verse 11. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, the Holy Spirit He warrants us believers as children of God. We are assured of eternal life because the Holy Spirit of Christ says, you are child of God. He is also the one who inspires us to trust that we receive his blessing impartially when we follow his instruction for us. Now, if you do not know the instruction for us, the instruction of God for us, if you do not know God's instruction for us, how can you receive his blessing when his blessing is inclusive to the instruction of God? You want blessing from God? Know the instruction of God and follow the instruction of God. That is when you receive the blessing of God. Don't just ask, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. The Lord says, I have already prepared a blessing for you. Where is that blessing, Lord? I give it to you, the instruction, so that you can get that blessing impartially. Only when you obey that you would get that blessing. Because how can you get that blessing when I say that blessing is in this place and you are going that place? How can you receive it? Many times, Lord, I will go here and bless me here. No. The Lord is the Lord, the King of Kings. What he says is true. When he said the blessing is here, in this place, you go to that place where the blessing God prepared for you, not to that place where you want to go. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit inspires us, again, to trust that we receive his blessing impartially when we follow his commands. The Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us, prays for us, encourages us to sense that rejoicing always. If you cannot sense that rejoicing, ask the Lord. If you sense that, like, you failed in an exam, you failed in an interview, you failed in your project, you sense that loneliness deep inside. If you sense like, there's rejoicing, oh, maybe God let me fail in my exam because the Lord is trying to redirect me to the direction he wants me to be. Maybe the Lord allowed me to fail in that interview because the Lord did not want me to be in that job, but instead he wants me to this job. And you have that rejoicing, that hope that God has better plan for you. Make sure not to quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible instructs us for that. Together, let's reflect on what it admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 19. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. It is the will of God for us to rejoice always, not to be lonely always, not to be resentful always, not to be distressed always. God wants us to, what? Rejoice always. God wants us to pray continually, not to grumble, not to complain, but to pray continually. Not to go on strike, on rallies. Did the Bible instruct you to go to strike and rallies? It said, pray continually. To give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances includes circumstances that we think that are bad circumstances. Not only good circumstances, but in all circumstances. There are circumstances that we don't like, of course, because we have ideals. I want to wear white, but my wife prepared blue. I said, why? No, blue. Okay, blue. She is the owner of the house, my bahay, right? Don't argue with the wife. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. How can we do that? We don't quench the Holy Spirit. How not to quench the Holy Spirit? How? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Believe that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer, we cannot go against this. If we go against this, then you are saying we are not believers. We always seek the help of the Lord to follow His instruction. We always seek the help of the Holy Spirit to follow the commands of God. Yes, always, always, always. Certainly we have our aspiration. We want to become somebody someday. This is what I want to become somebody someday. It is reality that motivates to keep on. But if our aspiration is within the will of God, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. If we say this is what I want to be as Christian, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Together, let's meditate on what it says in Psalm 33, verse 13 to 15. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth. He who performs the heart of all, who considers everything they do. That's the God of heaven. He who forms our hearts, ask Him to fill that heart. King David knows practically what he wrote. The Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart, that whatever God commands him to do, he will do. That was King David. But do you think that David did not have any aspiration for himself? Do you think that David desired to prosper like any other? Do you think that David wanted to have progress or have popularity? If he would have been in this generation, he would have been posting something on his TikTok, shepherding, or in his YouTube, killing before he would kill the bear or the lion. He would have posted that video, set up readily, and then go and kill that bear and kill that lion. See how I killed this bear? Me as very young person, and maybe there are a lot of followers following him. In this generation, I don't know. What else can anyone desire in this world? Did David desire to be powerful? I don't know. There was this movie interpretation about his brother, oldest brother, Eliab. Eliab was the oldest brother of David. Eliab, as the firstborn son, he was very confident, I will have double portion of the inheritance. Double portion belongs to me. In that movie, Eliab would just want his younger brothers remember that he is the first brother. And he assumed that he inherits the sheep of their father that David took care. Those sheep that David was took care of. Eliab said, no, those are mine. Eliab reprimanded David right before David defeated Goliath. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28, the Lord searches every heart. Oh, no, that's not. Do you have that? 1 Samuel 17, 28, do you have? I missed that, maybe. I'm sorry for that. There you go. When Eliab David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men. He burned in anger. Okay, let's wait for Louis. It would be better for us to read together, right? Okay. All right. Oh. Let's read. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." At the time, Israel and the Philistine were at war, and there was that giant Goliath who scared all the Israelites. And it was the time when David obeyed his father. See, Eliab was not worried about the safety of David. Eliab was worried that David would be hurt, so no one would take care of the sheep that he would inherit. What would happen to the sheep if you die? Something like that. With whom did you leave those sheep? Do you trust those shepherds that you leave those sheep? What if the sheep would scatter? Will they take care of the sheep? My inheritance. As if Eliab was saying that. David took care of the sheep of his brother. What's for him? Think about that. You are taking care of the sheep, not yours, for your brother. Eliab mentioned only few sheep. He said, those few sheep. If it is few sheep, think about this. David had 7 older brothers. He's the 8. So what will he inherit? If there's 100, will that be enough for him to get rich, to prosper? Does he has any chance of getting rich with only a few sheep? Eliab has similar idea when he burned with anger at David. How much would David receive as inheritance? Eliab did not see any chance that David would prosper because he is the youngest. All of the older brothers will inherit the sheep. What is left for him? Maybe a few, very, very few. So you have only few, you will not prosper. You're only shepherd. But after David defeated Goliath and eventually became king of Israel, no recorded account of what happened to his brother Eliab. Eliab was never mentioned in this story. Eliab was only mentioned in the Chronicles because of the genealogies, being a brother of David, but no story about Eliab mentioned again after that incident. This problem with relatives, this problem is generational tragic story. What should we do? Like King David, we trust and obey the Lord, and his greater plan for us will be realized. Even when others cannot imagine us to become somebody someday, even when relatives would not believe that we have that ability to be somebody someday, they don't know the future, but God has great plan for you who love the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that? Let's reflect on what it stated in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. The Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. This is an advice of King David to King Solomon, actually. Do you know the great plan of God for you? Do you know any practical step you should take to accomplish that great plan of God for you? Make sure to pray continually. Be thankful in all circumstances. That is where you start. Make sure you always sense in your heart that joyful peace of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's where you start. And then, when opportunity comes, attempt great things for God and expect great things for God. Who said that? Who told you that? If we attempt great things for God, we can expect great things from God. William Carey. Do you know the story of William Carey? There's a movie about William Carey, actually, in the YouTube, I think. Let's read again verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, we can never understand what God freely given us without the Holy Spirit's help. But with the Holy Spirit in us, we have the opportunity to understand. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Make sure you rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. Those three. Rejoice always. Say after me. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Remember those three things so that you would not quench the Holy Spirit. Start from there, and the Lord would reveal to you His great plan. See? If we attempt to do ordinary things that can be done by human ability, then we know that it is by our human ability that we accomplish ordinary things. Right? Who should be praised when we do ordinary things by our human faculty? Who? Praise belongs to humans, right? By human faculty, we do accomplish things, we praise humans. But if we carry out and accomplish great things by the inspiration and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, praise belongs to God. Praise belongs to God. How should we explain James chapter 2, verse 5? Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? The kingdom of God is promised only to those who love Him. Not to everyone who says, I'm a Christian. Not to everyone who says, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I pray to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. To those who love Him, the kingdom is promised. It's not being a member of the Maples Evangelical Church even. But I pray that every member of the Maples Evangelical Church would truly love the Lord. I want to see every one of us in heaven one day. In comparison to powerful and influential religious leaders, the term poor, it can be properly interpreted as spiritually poor, lacking in anything, helpless, powerless to accomplish an end, that is being poor. If they are able, then they are not poor. They can do things better than their being poor. It is by faith we accomplish great things for God that we cannot accomplish on our natural ability or natural talent. Many experts would advise, make a short-term, mid-term, long-term plan. And we do plan because it's the expert saying, do you have short-term plans? What's your short-term plans? Do you have long-term plans? What's your long-term plans? What do you want to see yourself next year? What's your short-term plan? What's your long-term plan? What do you see yourself 10 years, 20 years from now? What's your long-term plan? What legacy do you wish to leave behind if you leave this world anytime soon? What is it? What's your dream? Joseph, the son of Jacob, was called Joseph the dreamer. He dreamed. He had two dreams. His dream was his brothers would bow down to him. Hey, brothers, come here. I have a dream. What's your dream? I dream that you will be bowing down to me. Not just once. I dream it twice. Really, I think the Lord is telling me that you will bow down to me. And he told his father. His father was silent. Maybe in his action, my favorite son will become great person. My other children will bow down to him. My favorite son might have been telling his children. So his brothers were alarmed. Maybe it's true. Even our brothers agreed with it. Maybe it's true that we will bow down to him. So they did not want to bow down to that favorite child. He asked the best clothes we don't have. We are staying, suffering from heat and cold, shepherding the sheep of our fathers, and yet this favorite son stay home and have the best things in life, and we come to bow down to him in the future. That will not happen. Yes, that will not happen. Yes, that will not happen. Everyone agreed. It will not happen. So what will we do? We plan. They plan to kill Joseph. Why? They do not want to bow down to Joseph so that his dream won't happen. But eventually they sold him to his slavery. Through twists and turns of events, Joseph became very powerful prime minister of Egypt eventually. And during the famine, his brothers went to Egypt and they bowed down to Joseph. Not just once, not just twice, but three times at least recorded. They bowed down to Joseph, I should say. Relatives, friends, acquaintances may not agree with your plans, with your dreams for yourself. At worst, they may try to oppose you. They may try to discourage you. They may do something just to prevent your plans, your dreams. But if your plans, if your dreams, they are essential to the wonderful plan of God for you, the Lord will help you accomplish them. You believe that? Pray that you may follow the blueprint of God for you every step. Together, let's reflect on what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, God has good purpose for those who love him. Some people may say, how about those who do not love him? It did not mention about those. I don't know what. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned how I would love him. It is best to know the purpose of God for you first and foremost before thinking, like trying to save others. You are not the Savior. Only Christ is Savior. So sincerely pray, seriously pray that the Holy Spirit produce love, joy, peace, patience in your heart so that you may love to follow him with peaceful gladness. You would not worry about difficult circumstances because the Lord himself assures that in all things he works for your welfare. Amen.